More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, fool me twice. Are there people in your life who have disappointed you or let you down? We're going to help you heal and find ways to move forward. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, fool me twice. Are there people in your life who've disappointed you or let you down in some way, and you're not quite sure what to do about it? You know, there's that old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
I really don't like that.
No, but the implication being that, you know, I ought to know better, right? I should never give you another chance. Is that really the way that we as Christians need to operate? Well, of course not. But what do we do?
Well, exactly. You know, there's that phrase, and you're absolutely right. It means, you know, I should never allow myself and my heart to be open to being fooled again. I should just cut you off at the knees. And then we turn and we look to Jesus, and he says, turn the other cheek.
Forgive 70 times seven.
And it's a very different message than the world says. But as at the same time, you know, Jesus admonishes us to be wise, to, you know, walk away from sin, to, you know,
Walk away from other people when he tells us we can shake the dust from our feet.
Yeah. Exactly. And so where does that leave us? With people who are hurting us or letting us down in some way. And I don't mean, you know, just they said they'd empty the dishwasher and they forgot to empty the dishwasher, you know, once or even occasionally. I'm talking about the person who, let's use the same analogy, tells you they'll empty the dishwasher with that, yeah, I'll get to it, and never, ever, ever, ever does, because it's the underlying symptom of they don't respect you at all. They're not really listening to you. They don't really care about you. And that's a tiny little...
Yeah, and it goes from everything from those sorts of small ways of letting each other down and showing disrespect for each other to those large things like adultery, you know, or breaking your heart because they're living, you know, an adult child, for example, who's living completely contrary to the way you've raised them. You know, anything where we experience that kind of disappointment, it's hard to recover from, and it's hard to know how to deal with it in a graceful way. We want to talk through your situation and help you understand what it really means to rebound from that broken heart when someone you care about has let you down or hurt you in some way. Give us a call. We'll work through it together at 877-573-7825. Has someone you love hurt you or let you down? What does giving someone another chance mean? You know, you get that a lot. Somebody hurts you in some way, and they can I just please have another chance? I'm so sorry. Let me give me another chance. What does that mean? Do you just pretend it didn't happen at all? Do you have to talk through it somehow? If you do, how do you do it in a way that doesn't feel like you're rubbing their face in it somehow? You know, how do you even heal or rebuild a relationship when someone has disappointed or hurt you? 877-573-7825.
And again, what is our marching order from our Christian worldview. What does Jesus really want from us? You know, we're expected to be kind. We're expected to be loving. We're expected to be able to accompany people as they go through their journey and try to figure it all out. But the spiritual works of mercy also tell us we need to instruct the ignorant and we need to admonish sinners. And that includes the people who are hurting us and sinning against us.
But it also says forgive generously and bear wrongs patiently. How do those things go together? It's complicated, right? I mean, there isn't a cookie cutter answer to these questions.
Well, and there shouldn't be, because the theology of the body tells us that we're each unique and unrepeatable people in God. And if each of us are unique and unrepeatable, that means that we don't always click. We don't always do things exactly right, and we have to work that out with our particular situation, with our particular people. And if you're struggling to do that in any area of your life, whether it's family life, friendships, work, you know, people, anything where you need to figure this all out so that you can protect your heart, protect your life, protect those in your family from people who are truly not trustworthy or will consistently let you down through some reason or another. But you still want to be that good Christian witness to them and be that loving person and be faithful to God in your walk. How do you work it out? Well, one of the ways to do it is to call More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825, and we'll help you work some of this out in your situation.
And once again, our show is titled Fool Me Twice, and we're looking at those times when someone you love has hurt you or let you down. What does giving someone another chance really mean? And how do you heal or even rebuild a relationship when someone has disappointed you, hurt you, or even betrayed you in some way? 877-573-7825. You know, Lisa, you referenced the theology of the body a moment ago, and the theology of the body reminds us that we were made for love, and that our greatest mission in life is to build and participate in what Pope St. John Paul the Great called a community of love. And it's trust, ultimately, that makes that possible. You know, trust is the quality that allows us to count on each other, to be consistently loving, to consistently work for our good. Not just when we feel like it or when it's easy, but every day, unconditionally, through good times and in bad and everything else that gets in the way. Trust is the evidence that a person has the ability to do what they say they're going to do, the desire to consistently work for our good in the first place, and the integrity to correct themselves, or at least be relatively easily corrected, when they occasionally behave unlovingly. That lack of trust makes it almost impossible to build a genuinely loving relationship, because we can't count on the fact that these loving actions and attitudes that they display in that moment are going to be there in the next moment. So trust is the quality that allows us to focus on giving ourselves to each other instead of having to focus on protecting ourselves from each other. And that's really what we're talking about here. You know, when somebody hurts you in some way, sometimes trust takes a hit, and it's hard to know whether you can count on them to be there in loving ways and working for your good the next time. How do you work through that hurt? Do you just ignore it? Do you push it down? Do you pretend nothing ever happened? Do you give them another chance? If so, what does that look like? We're working through all those complicated questions today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are so generous, loving, and forgiving, always ready to receive us when we have let you down or disappointed you in some way, always ready to forgive us and heal us and repair our relationship when we have strayed from the path. You come and find us and bring us back, as the gospel yesterday reminded us. You are always faithful and always seeking the lost. Help us to know, Lord, how to respond to those people who hurt us, who betray us, who let us down. Help us to know how to rebuild the relationship, how to rebuild the trust, how to work through those concerns that we have that cause us to wonder whether we can trust again. Give us the grace that we need, Lord, to know how to respond to those who hurt us, let us down, betray us, or disappoint us in some way, so that we can repair our relationships and find a way back to you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, fool me twice. You know that old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The implication, of course, being that when someone lets you down, you should never give them another chance again. Just cut them off, be done with it. That's it. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that's not the Christian response. But what is the Christian response? It's not as straightforward as you might think, right? Because, on the one hand, Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7. On the other hand, he tells us there are times when it's okay to shake the dust from our feet. On the one hand, there are the spiritual works of mercy of forgiving generously and bearing wrongs patiently. On the other hand, there are the spiritual works of mercy of admonishing the sinner and correcting the ignorant. You know, how do we negotiate these very different ideas of how Christians can legitimately respond to people who've hurt us? And more particularly, how does that apply to your life and circumstances? Let's talk through it together. Find some ways forward in those times when someone you love has hurt you or let you down. Let's talk about what giving another chance to somebody really means, and how you heal or even rebuild a relationship when someone has disappointed you, hurt you, or betrayed you. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. 877-573-7825.
We're talking right now with Blessie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Hello there, Blessie. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Yeah, a friend of mine, we were very like close friends, we were best friends, and I think our friendship has fallen into like a rust patch, or it's fallen apart, because I know there's a friend of mine who has, that she's tried to help when he needed it, but he's wronged her. And so there might be bitterness and unforgiveness. And, there was a day where we came across each other, or, there was a day where she saw him and, like, I feel the bitterness, and she just,
Listen, I'm confused here. So you're saying you have this friend who tried to help another person who wronged her, and there's bitterness toward him. What does this have to do with your friendship with her? How has that negatively impacted your friendship?
Ever since that day, I think she's pushed me away.
What do you have to do with it, though?
She's rejected me. Oh, because what she was saying about him, uh-huh. I was starting to feel upset. And, like, I hid my feelings. Like, I didn't talk about it that day because it was actually 4th of July. I didn't want to ruin the day. And so, like, I didn't talk about it that day to her because I felt a lot of anger because I was just wondering why, like, she was feeling that way. I hope it doesn't, like, get too personal. It's just that we went from being best friends to what feels like almost like acquaintances or like we're not.
So, Blessie, have you talked to her at all since then?
I've tried to talk to her in person, but like we would see each other like at our church events, but she was like. Like, we just don't cross paths, and she doesn't invite me over, like, to talk about it. I just realized that she doesn't want to invite me over. Like,
okay,
she doesn't want to see each other at the next event.
Right, so, but you guys, you said you were best friends before. Did you talk to each other between different church events before, and that's changed now? I guess like, what I'm trying to figure out is what avenues do you have to reach out to her at this point?
Like, I used to be able to, like, talk to her, like, when she'd invite me over to her house, but she doesn't invite me over anymore.
But you have her number, is what I'm asking.
Yes.
Have you called her and said, hey, look, I just feel like things have sort of changed between us since the 4th of July. What's going on?
I haven't reached out to her in that way. I don't know if it was
That's your first step.
Okay, kind of like fear. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's your first step.
You're letting your fear give you 1,000 different scenarios on why she's not reaching out to you anymore. She's probably doing the same thing. She's probably got everything in her head from Blessy took his side instead of mine, or she doesn't think I'm right, or she's mad at me, or 1,000 different things where you're both mind reading each other and you're never going to be able to heal the relationship or really be able to be honest with each other until you reach out and say, hey, I really want to talk about this. I really want our friendship to be a priority.
You know, in Matthew 18, the first thing that Jesus says, when we have a difficulty with somebody, we leave our gift at the altar and we go and talk to them about it. And that's really where you're at. You haven't actually directly addressed your concern with your friend. And the way to do that is to say to her, you know, call her up or text her, better to call and say, hey, look, you know, I just really feel like things have been different between us since the 4th of July. And I don't know what's going on. If you're upset with me about, you know, what happened with the other friend or what, but I'd really love to talk through it with you and just try to understand where you're where you're coming from. Blessy, the other thing is, you know, you said that when she was complaining about this other person who hurt her, you were feeling angry. And you know, my sense is that, you were feeling defensive about this other person and you said you weren't sure why she was reacting that way. So the second step is finding out why. You know, don't lead with your reaction. Lead with listening. Ask her, you know, help me really understand why you're so upset about this other person. What did they do to you and what did it mean to you? I really want to get where you're coming from and really understand why you're so frustrated. Because, I mean, I like this other person. I think they're good. And I guess at first I was having this sort of frustrated reaction because I didn't know why you were so upset, but I'd really like to understand that. So that's step two, okay? So reach out to her today. You know, and let her know that you're sorry that things have been tense between you guys since the 4th of July, and that you'd really like to rebuild the relationship if you could. But before you say anything about your impressions or what you think about her behavior toward this other person, let her know that you really want to understand where she's coming from and start there. For more ideas on how to charitably engage with somebody that you're frustrated with, or, you know, how to rebuild these sorts of friendships, I'd really encourage you to check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really all about being honest with each other about the differences that we have, about how to confront conflict in a healthy, godly way, and even how to set boundaries when we have to. So that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Thanks for the call, Blessy. And we're talking with you today about those times when someone has hurt you or let you down in some way, especially when they've told you that they're sorry and they're not going to do it again, and then they turn around and, shock, do it again. What do you do? Our show is titled Fool Me Twice. Has someone you loved let you down or hurt you in some way? What does giving someone another chance really mean? How do you heal or rebuild a relationship when someone's hurt or disappointed you? 877-573-7825.
Or perhaps you've decided to give somebody that chance, but you're walking around in fear. You're really afraid that person is going to do this to you again. And you don't know what you can do to continue to work on the relationship, but also make sure that you're protecting them from being less than their best selves, and you're protecting your heart in the midst of the entire relationship and giving them that second chance. We're here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We'll be back with some tips for rebuilding trust, plus more of your calls when More to Life continues right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we are talking with you today about healing relationships on our show titled Fool Me Twice. Are there people in your life who have disappointed you or let you down in some way, and you're not sure whether to give them another chance? Or even what giving them another chance looks like. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. How do you heal or rebuild a relationship when someone's hurt you, disappointed you, or let you down? Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our next listener who's tuning in to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hello there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hey, I'm a divorced mom of five adult children, and it was a bad marriage towards the end and a bad divorce. And my adult children, it's a very rocky relationship. They don't want to, I can't get them to talk to me to heal, to go forward. I've apologized for my behavior, and it just...
When you say you've apologized for your behavior, what does that mean? What are you apologizing for?
Well, my husband traveled a lot, and I was angry and resentful, so I was kind of like a screaming, raving lunatic mom and abusive to some of my kids. I wasn't getting emotional support and just spousal support. So I apologize, and I've tried to reach out over the years to listen to them. I tell them I want to listen to what they have to say, heal the relationship and move forward. My daughter, and she just started talking to me, but it's still very rocky. Okay. I feel that I can't say anything right. I'm doing everything wrong, and I...
So you said your daughter, you broke up a little bit. You said your daughter just started talking with you again, but it's really rocky, and you feel like you can't say anything right.
Very rocky.
Okay, but you just started talking again, correct? I mean, so it's been a while since you've had contact with your kids, and she's the first one to kind of let you in a little bit?
Yes. She had a baby 6 months ago, so she told me a year ago that she was pregnant, and so... Mm-hmm. But we hardly ever talk, and it's only on her terms.
Mm-hmm.
I did have my middle daughter come and live with me for 2 years. She was an alcoholic. She had nowhere else to live. And I set up a living agreement with her in terms of paying rent and everything, and she didn't want to have anything to do with that, so she moved out. They have a relationship with their dad when they were all... teenagers, he told them that they do not have to respect me at all. Because
let's focus on the now, though. So how long ago was that?
Well, that was probably 10, 15 years ago, but they
right.
have this over.
So let's focus on now because that's where your relationship is in the present, okay, and what you need to do to heal now. So you're saying you're talking with one of the daughters right now. What about the other kids? You have five kids all together. Where are they, and how what kind of contact do you have with them?
Well, she's 34. The next one is 33. My son, who has most abusive too, he doesn't want to have anything to do with me. He's mm-hmm. told me that. And then my daughter, who's an alcoholic, she moved out. She does not respond to any of my...
Okay. Well, here's what you want to do, listener. Here's what I need you to do, all right? You want to start where you can, okay? And you do need to respect their boundaries. You know, it took a lot of courage for you to admit that that you were abusive. You know, here in the call, that then to call it what it is, I admire your honesty and your willingness to see your behavior for what it was. But that's the sort of thing that you can't just apologize for, right? I mean, you have to start there, and you have to start by recognizing that you were not the mom they deserved. And that you hurt them in a lot of ways. And, you know, you were hurting yourself. I get it. I understand where that comes from. But they deserved to know that mom was safe and that they could count on you, and they couldn't. And so they're hurting. And apologizing is the first step. But you need to let the way to heal an abusive relationship, a previously abusive relationship, is where the abuser has to respect the other person's boundaries. Right, because where abuse is hurtful beyond just any kind of physical wounds that might be there or emotional wounds, it's hurtful because I don't respect your boundaries. Right, that's what abuse is. It's where I say I don't think of you as enough of a person that you deserve for me to respect where I end and you begin. Okay, and so when you say that you're one daughter has started talking with you and there's nothing that you can do that's right and I can only talk to her on her terms, that's pretty much where the relationship needs to be right now. And you need to start by letting her know that you accept that and that you love her, that you're glad that she's letting you back into her life even a little bit, that it will be on her terms. You can send her little notes as she allows you, whether that's a text message or an email or whatever, to let her know that you'd like to stay in touch with her. But don't push her. You know, let her know that you're there to support her in whatever way she's willing to let you into your life and build from there one child at a time. We got to go to break. Thanks for the call.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. When I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish," or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God, not a lot of relationship with God, not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak.
Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude. Remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me, learn from me, let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, Fool Me Twice. You know the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And the implication being that if somebody ever lets me down, I should just cut them off at the knees. That's it. You're done. But, of course, that's not the Christian response. But sometimes it's hard to know what the Christian response really needs to be, especially when someone lets us down repeatedly. So we're asking you, is there someone in your life who has hurt you or let you down? What does giving them another chance mean? Are you confused about that? Are you not sure how to heal or rebuild or repair the relationship? Give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. If someone you love has let you down and you're not sure how to move forward.
Let's talk now with Sandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in York, Pennsylvania.
Hi there, Sandy. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. I'm having a situation with my mom. She needed some financial help, and I was reluctant to help her, but then she was crying and doing all this other stuff, and so I said, okay, I would, and so she said that she would give me some post-dated checks and that I would be able to cash them. But she knew when she borrowed the money from me that she would never be able to pay me back because they're broke and they filed bankruptcy. So how do you move on and heal a relationship with your mom like that?
So, Sandy, let me ask you, first of all, how old are you?
I'm 56.
Okay. And so I just wonder, is there been a history with your parents of them not being responsible?
Money-wise, for my mom, yes. And that's why I was reluctant to help her.
Mm-hmm. When you say money-wise from your mom, yes. I mean, not otherwise?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, so I guess what I'm trying to get at here, it seems to me that there are two layers to this problem. Okay, the first one, you know, is the money thing. But the other piece of it is, you know, you're in your 50s, and so you've been an adult for a while. And I'm sure that you have a history with your parents. I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, how reliable they have been to you, how much you've been able to count on them when you were growing up and in your young adulthood, and whether this is just another example of how they haven't shown up for you.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay. So it's bigger than the emotion.
They haven't been there for me. And the only time that she really called me was when she won something. And she was calling me like 10 times a day when she needed this money. And any other time, she wouldn't call me for years.
Sure. For years. Yeah. You've got somebody who's using you for what they need and not really working for your good.
So this isn't about the money, really. I mean, this is about, you know, you gave her the money not even because because you wanted a relationship with her and that was the only way to get it, right? I mean, when it came
right
down to it.
Sure. And that is perfectly.
Yeah, I realize that's why, because it's the first time she ever really showed up in my life.
Yeah, and please understand, that is perfectly normal. You know, everything about us as human beings is structured so that we cling to our parents, especially our mothers. They're supposed to be the people who give us security and love and affirmation and a sense of ourselves. And when we don't get that, the wound is so deep, and we will naturally take any opening we can get to begin to have that relationship with them. There's always that spark of hope. Maybe this time mom will realize that I'm worth something. Maybe if I give this money, even though I know she's not good for it, she'll notice me, she'll care about me, she'll have some kind of reciprocity. Maybe the money won't come back, but maybe some love, some kind of relationship, an occasional phone call. And that's not something that you need to feel bad about or ashamed of, because it's normal. But it is something that you have to realize won't bear you any kind of healthy fruit.
And I say you need to not to put yourself in that position ever again, because this is just allowing, it's not a relationship. This is allowing them to use you, you know, and I think you know that on a certain level. When it comes down to the money piece, just a good general rule of thumb for loaning family members money, if don't ever loan money to a family member, okay? If you can't afford to just give it, then don't.
Yeah, and that goes, you're speaking to all of our listeners now.
Yeah.
This idea of loaning family members money never, rarely works out as any kind of business arrangement where you get paid back. It's something you really have to say.
It always creates tension.
Even if you do get paid back, it's a mess.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't give it, but you give it as a gift, not as I'm waiting for some kind of reciprocity here.
Exactly. So if you can't afford to give it, then don't. In the first place. But that's the superficial answer here. The bigger question is, you know, you want a relationship with your folks, and they haven't shown up for you for your entire adult life, and now all of a sudden they came because they needed something from you, and, you know, you wanted to be able to be there for them. I would say to you that in the future, you know, you need to let them know that, look, you guys have been letting me down my entire life. I would love to have a relationship with you and heal that. But that has to be around something other than you needing something from me. When you're ready to show up for me and be part of my life and really be parents, I would love to hear from you. But until then, you know, you've let me know that you don't want to have anything to do with me, and calling me up when you need something isn't the way to show me that that's changed at all. So, you know, that's really the position you have to take. And why do you do that? Well, yes, it's to protect you. But it's also to work for their good, because setting a boundary with somebody who's a user like that is the best way to work for their good. And they might get angry about it, and they might lash out at you, and they might say horrible things to you. But that's really ultimately the best thing to do in that case, because you don't want to put yourself in the position where you are allowing them to degrade themselves by using their daughter instead of treating her like a human person. So, you know, that's not to say that you can't help somebody or give them a way forward. You are giving them a way forward. You're saying, look, I would love to be able to have a relationship with you where it would be safe to help you. But in order to do that, I need to know that you're showing up for me in some other time than when you need something from me. And if you can show me that, we can talk about this moving forward. But now is, I'm saying no. I'm sorry. And, you know, that has to be the boundary.
And a good rule of thumb for this, Sandy, to give yourself the distance you need to evaluate this, is you step back and you say, would I take this kind of behavior and treatment from a colleague at work? And if this is a person that you'd have to, you know, work with day in and day out, and you expected them to respect you, you expected them to be all in on projects you worked on together, and on and on. Just have that sort of as your level. Say, are they treating me with respect? Are they treating me as somebody who they want to work with, that they want to spend time with? Use that, because it'll give you the distance to be able to evaluate it from a place that isn't coming from that parental wound that you're carrying. And frankly, from the pressure that society puts on us to, like, have that perfect parent-child relationship as adults. I mean, we get a lot of nonsense, even from Hollywood, that says, oh, yes, you know, you just give parents an inch and they'll come back and they'll make everything wonderful and you'll get that final happy ending that you want. Not unless you can really set up a healthy adult relationship between the two of you. And the way that your parents are trying to go about it, especially your mother, is never going to lead to that. You're going to have to be the one to set the boundaries.
All right, Sandy, thanks for the call. And again, we do offer more ideas for managing these kinds of challenging relationships with the parents, especially. In our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. I think that you'll be able to move forward based on those recommendations we've made here for you today. But if you need additional support or information, check out the book. I think it'll be helpful for you. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or at EWTN Religious Catalog as well. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about those times when the people you love hurt you or let you down or disappoint you in some way. Let's talk about how to move forward in those situations. What does forgiving mean? What does giving them another chance look like? When do you need to just set some boundaries, like we were just talking about with Sandy? 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with your calls right after the break.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Fool Me Twice. We're talking about those times when someone you care about disappoints you and even does it consistently. Is there someone you care about who's let you down, disappointed you, betrayed you in some way, and you're not sure what forgiving them or giving them another chance even looks like? When do you just have to say no? Are there times when it's okay as a Christian to set boundaries? And what does that look like? We're talking about all those questions and more today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
We're talking with Rachel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas, Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey there, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. Well, I need to ask you a question. How can I get past my niece? My oldest sister's daughter just really hurt me and disrespected me, and I've forgiven her, but I don't know how to move past it. Like, she refuses to acknowledge her inappropriate behavior, and even though my sister has asked her several times to apologize, she refuses, and I didn't even do anything. My sister got really sick.
So what happened here? Yeah, talk us through.
Well, my sister got really sick, and we're really close. I took her to the hospital, and my niece is a dentist, so she goes, please don't call Alejandra because she's really busy, and, you know, I'll just have her dad call her later after she sees all her patients. And I said, okay, if that's what you want. So I have to respect my sister's wishes. And apparently her dad never did call her. And then when she found out, she showed up at the hospital at 9:30 at night with my one-year-old nephew, and she was just irate. Like, how dare I? I mean, she was using every profanity in the book.
Let me ask you this. That's horrible, and I'm really sorry you were on the receiving end of that, because you're right. I mean, you were honoring your sister's wishes, and her husband should have been the one to tell, and
exactly.
He didn't. Let me ask you this, though. Was there some reason that, that everybody didn't expect Dad to follow through? I mean, because the impression I get, usually you see this sort of dynamic when it's like, well, you should have known that Dad would never going to call because, I mean, is he unreliable that way, generally speaking?
Well, I mean, I just really...
I'm taking that as a
really
yes.
did believe that he was going to call, and...
Right, I know, but I'm asking about his history. I mean, is he the sort of person who, generally speaking, drops the ball, that kind of thing?
No, but he's the kind of person that really, I mean, like, he didn't show up to the hospital till 10 o'clock at night because he knew I was there, so, I mean...
Yeah, so he's not a particularly caring and responsible husband, is basically the deal here. I mean, and so that's why. I mean, this is, you got caught up in a marriage and a family dynamic here, okay? You know, the daughter knows that her father isn't reliable. The daughter knows that her father doesn't really care about anybody else except himself. And so she expected you to fill in the gap there. And realize that, Dad is an idiot, and he wasn't going to take care of Mom, and he wasn't going to call the rest of the family.
And he got the full force of the brunt of her frustration, because she can't yell at Dad, so she yelled at you, and it got real ugly. And rather than deal with their family dynamic, they all decided, okay, well, our daughter decided to blame it all on our aunt, so let's just stick with that scenario and not look at what's going on here.
Yeah, so you become the whipping boy then, and that's not okay, and it's unfortunate, but there's not anything you can possibly do about it, because none of this is really about you. This is all about how everybody's mad at your sister's husband and how he doesn't step up to the plate, either being a husband or a father. And unless you could fix that, you're not going to be able to do anything about the anger that was directed at you, okay? Because in order for them to apologize to you, they'd have to admit that Dad was really the problem here. And nobody's going to do that. So your best bet is to bear this wrong patiently and not ever put yourself in this position again. If you ever have to take your sister to the hospital or any other serious thing happens with your sister and she says, don't tell my daughter, the first thing you do is you pick up the phone and you call the daughter, okay? Because you recognize, I'm never going to put myself in this place again. I'm not going to stick myself in the middle of this crazy family dynamic that my sister's got going on with her husband and her kids. You know, if she needs something, I'm going to pass along the information, because this is just crazy stuff. But that's the thing. It's like, it's not really about you. I mean, I'm sorry you went through it. It's unfortunate. It's not fair. It's not just. But you're never going to get the apology that you're looking for, because it's really not about you. So in this situation, if you want to have a relationship with your extended family, the best thing to do is to bear this wrong patiently. Don't put yourself in the position again. Pretend it didn't happen and move on. And the reason I can say that is, sorry, I mean,
no, no, no.
The reason I can say that is, I wouldn't normally say pretend something didn't happen.
No, that's not normal. Not ever come out of our mouth.
But you know, this kind of thing, it doesn't affect your day-to-day life, right? I mean, if we were talking about your husband treating you like this, or one of your kids that you saw all the time treating you like, well, you have to deal with that. Okay, but when you're talking about an extended family member that you see periodically and they don't really impact your day-to-day life, it's nice to be able to work this stuff out, but you can still have a relationship with them and work around it.
And what definitely will not work is if you confront your sister and say, look, this whole thing happened because your husband dropped the ball and it's his fault and you really need to fix this. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Until
nobody's willing to admit that Dad's irresponsible.
Unless she hits a wall with him and decides, to fix this relationship on her own, there is nothing that you can do to make this happen based on the evidence she's given you. So, as Greg was saying, do what you can. If this is a relationship you really want with your sister and you want to continue it, then start being friendly, be nice about it, say, hey, how you doing? Just start the conversation. Try not to refer back to this situation and build where you can, but don't expect this to be a healthy scenario, so avoid anything where you're being called in to, play referee or do anything that, would not prop up their scenario of life.
All right, Rachel, thanks for the call. I'm really sorry you're going through this, but I hope this gives you some perspective and some practical ways forward. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota on Sirius 130.
Hi there, Stephanie. Welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's your question?
About a year ago, I met a gentleman that I fell head over heels for. All the signs were there, something that I've been praying for. And about 4 months into the relationship, I received a call from a lady that said that he was this person's ex-wife and that they were still having a relationship. They've been divorced for about 5 years. I talked with my boyfriend about it, and he automatically denied it. Kept on receiving calls from the ex-wife. And finally, I sat my boyfriend down in front of the cross, and I called on Jesus, and I said, I'm asking you this. Please be honest with me. And he said, no, it didn't happen. And he finally came clean about a month later, and I'm really, really struggling about the trust. How do I trust? Is this right? Is this what God wants for me?
You don't trust him.
No. No. If he came clean a month later and said, yeah, I've still been having an affair with my ex-wife, no, this is not what God wants for you. It's completely out of order. No. He's living in grave sin.
Let me ask you a quick question here, Stephanie. Does he have an annulment from this relation, this marriage with his first wife?
No, it's not annulled. He's starting the RCIA, the Catholic process.
Okay, but he's still married to her.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the thing. Like that's the other part of the problem here is he's actually still married to her in the eyes of the church. Okay, so I mean, this is a mess.
Which are the only eyes that matter?
You can't trust him. You can't trust him, and you shouldn't be in a relationship with him at all in the first place.
He wasn't free to date you in the first place.
So the whole relationship, as much as your heart wants to believe that there was something good about this, and as much as your heart wants to believe that God led you into this relationship, this relationship was poison fruit from the very beginning. He wasn't free to give himself to you in the first place,
and this still isn't.
And I'm so sorry that you're going through this. This is so incredibly painful. My heart's breaking for you. But, what you're saying, I don't know what to do about trust. You don't trust him because he's not trustworthy.
You trust yourself. This is what the win is in this. Okay, Stephanie? If you can look at this and you love God so much that you took this man before the crucifix and you asked him this question, it took a month for the Holy Spirit to move in his heart enough that he told you
the truth. That wasn't the Holy Spirit wasting time. That was him not listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for pointing that out. He was stonewalling the Holy Spirit for a month. But God came through and let you know that, no, this man is not free to be yours. He is married to another woman. He is not trustworthy. He is not walking with Christ in a way that's making him healthy. And no, I can hear you thinking it is not your job to get him there in a relationship with Christ. That's his job. You need to trust yourself. That's where the trust comes in. Trust yourself to step back and say, wow, okay, upon further evaluation, as much as my heart loves this man, my soul knows he's not for me. This is not who God has made for me. He does not want me walking in this, and I'm going to love God and myself enough to walk away.
And this is a hard thing to hear, but when Lisa says, my heart, as much as my heart loves this man, if you really love this man, you will not put him in a position where he's being unfaithful.
Yeah.
Because even though he's divorced, he's still married in the eyes of the church. Loving him means working for his good, not adding one more complication and temptation to his already messed up life.
Yeah, and let's not split hairs here. He's not just married in the eyes of the church. He's behaving as a married man to this woman, no matter what legal paperwork they have to separate their taxes. He's sleeping with her. He's romancing her. He's her husband. He is not free to be yours.
I'm really sorry to tell you that, Stephanie, but that is the reality of it. And it's, again, it's one of the other reasons why listening to the church's advice on this is so incredibly important. People mm-hmm. tend to treat annulments like they're just jumping through some church hoop. But it's really an important part of the process of discerning, what does God want me to do with this relationship that I had? What is God's intention for this next chapter of my life? Am I really still married to this person? And what does that mean? And if, you know, and am I free to give myself to anyone else? That's an important discernment process that we need to respect. Otherwise, we put ourselves in a position where our heart can get really broken, and our heart can lead us in ways that end up not working for our good or the good of others. Stephanie, please be assured that we'll be adding you guys to our Mortal Life prayer list, but we pray that God will give you the courage to end this relationship that's not good for you, not good for him, and it's certainly not what God has in store for you. He has more for you. We just have to sometimes have the courage to wait for that and to look for it and to seek after his will instead of what our heart puts in front of us. 877-5... Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. We're 20 seconds. I'm not going to give you the number because there's no time to take any more calls. Oh, but thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. And we hope that we've been able to support you and find some ways forward in those relationships that are complicated, where it's difficult to know how to rebuild or trust or whether you even should, and what those boundaries should look like in those relationships that aren't healthy. If you need more support, come on over to our place at CatholicCounselors.com to check out the resources we have for you there, our books, our videos, and many, many other resources, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor over the telephone to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com or call to make an appointment to speak with a therapist at 740-266-6461. 6461. Again, that number 740-266-6461. Remember, folks, there is so much more to life. We want you to get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live. God bless and have a terrific day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.